off before 6 p.m. and locals get in free.
Hey, it just doesn't get any better than this.
Plus, there's great drink specials and lots of giveaways.
Log on to our website, ogvegas.com, for all WWE event dates and times.
There is more to see at the OG.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Your command. Attention, attention, presenting His Eminence, our imperious leader.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want, just do not call me late for dinner. And if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas at 7 o'clock, it's time for Subject to Discussion live on LVRocks.com. The program is also podcasted on LVRocks.com. And also that was the Centurion in charge, or the Dalek in charge. Thank you very much, Mr. Consoler. And tonight, after the news to me and the news to you, will be Molly. There he is. Thank you very much. Will be Molly from the Liberal Girl Next Door. That's a good name for a writer and a blogger, so we'll talk to her. And then in the second hour will be Koenig Rules with our sci-fi discussion and Battlestar Galactica news and update. And then at the top of the second hour, I'll have to do the pop culture bit to myself, because today I wasn't expected to be here because I was supposed to go into to the doctor's office for a little checkup. And then anyway, the Jackass changed it to tomorrow, so it was too late for the pop culture junkies people to get somebody lined up for today. But I got a lot of celebrity news and everything, so we'll delve into that. And the program is part of the antiradio.net podcast. Thank you very much for listening from there. And also Meeker Broadcasting. I had a couple emails from people listening from all over the country. Two exactly, but so it's on Meeker, so thank you very much. And what else? The program is archived over on spankwagon.net. Spankwagon's on every Friday from 7 until 9, followed by, oh no, I got a new time now. Wait a minute, 6 till whatever the hell it is now, right? 6 to 8? 6 to 8? 7 to 9? Where the hell are you on? Spankwagon. 6 to 8. 6 to 8, followed by King Hesh, and I keep moving the shows around here. And then also the website, subject2discussion.com, and email subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. And I'm going to get to the news to me in just a moment. I'm going to go through the headlines in the USA Today. They're running a series on the global warming problem here facing the world, and they show about Alaska as the poster state for climate change. Climate concerns are shown of how some glaciers are melting there in Alaska, and how before they used to be able to go hunting for seals and everything like that on snowmobiles and ice schooners. Now they're having to go in boats because the ice is all melting. So, and it's pretty much common sense. And also at the bottom of the fold, it talks about that roadside bomb that killed two CBS journalists in Iraq, and that Kimberly Dozier is seriously injured from the roadside bomb in Iraq. And then on the side, on the right, it says nation splits in four ways on illegals. It talks about the illegal immigration situation, and it breaks down the four areas. The hardliners, which would be 25% of Americans, 60% male. They approve of Bush 41%. They're the hardliners. They they want all the illegals tossed out and everything else. The unconcerned, I guess that would be me, 23% of Americans, 50% are male, 20% Bush approval rating. And they're kind of like, concerned about the issue, generally sympathize to illegal immigrants and think the removal would hurt the economy. Basically, they're more of a common sense type approach, the way Bush is pushing. And So that's that. And also locally today, I got this free paper from the hotel, so of course I'll take it with me. Bomb. They talk about the bomb killing two from CBS. And also on the left, it says our Senator Harry Reid, Pinky here, defends taking free boxing tickets. The Nevada Athletic Commission gave him some free boxing seats for Las Vegas fights between 2003 and 2005. And this violates the ethics rules in the United States Senate. So like I said before, I don't like him, so I like to see him drummed out of office because of this. So, I mean, it's perfect to get him out of there. I mean, just look at him. He looks, his beady little eyes, and I say he always looks like he's been sucking on a pickle for about 3 hours. So, and so with that, to go through the news from the past week, today, of course, we had President Bush taps Henry Paulson as the new Treasury Secretary. Goldman Sachs chief Henry Paulson was tapped Tuesday to be the next Treasury Secretary by President Bush, who turned to a 32-year Wall Street veteran to help breathe new life into his economic agenda, and you know he had one, and revive his troubled presidency. That we know he has. It marked the latest in a string of major changes in the president's personnel, blah, blah, blah. I remember last week, at his press conference with Blair, he said that Snow... he had no idea that Snow was going to resign. So I don't know if he lied or what. All of a sudden, a week later, the guy's out and they already appointed a replacement. So I don't know. That's a little funny. And what else? And also, they said 1,500 more troops are heading to Iraq into the Anbar province, which was supposed to be the most violent area in Iraq. And 1 year ago today, Shooter Cheney said that the insurgency was in its last throes. So I don't know. Looking at the headlines, doesn't look like they're in the last throes, but, you know, who am I? And then Monday, we had the deadly attack on the CBS News crew. Of course, two members of CBS News team, veteran cameraman Paul Douglas, sound man James Brolin, were killed, and a correspondent Kimberly Dozier was seriously injured Monday when the U.S. Army unit in which she was embedded was attacked. So that's horrible. I watched it in the news, that poor woman. And then also this pop culture business, Hollywood beckons as L.A.'s new hot zip code. Hollywood's best days were behind her. The glamour of the 20s had long ago been replaced by crime and grime. Teenage runaways mingled with prostitutes at the city's most storied intersection, Hollywood and Vine. Yet something curious had happened. Hollywood refused to fade away, so now there are $1 billion in residential development slated for a few blocks surrounding Hollywood Boulevard and Vine, an unprecedented buildup to bring the it factor back to a place that once was the epicenter of cool. So that's pretty good. I was there a few years ago. It was amazing how run down and just nasty it was, especially going down that Walk of Fame. It's like, oof, you know, you almost had to bring a gun with you to see all the stars on the floor. And now you're at that Chinese man's theater. It's like almost in the middle of a ghetto. Garden Spot of Hollywood. It's like we're in the Garden Spot of Las Vegas. I'll drink water. And then Sunday, this is from Sunday, quake death toll tops 4,300 in Indonesia. Tens of thousands camped out for a second night in Sunday in streets. Death toll rose to 4,300. It's terrible. It's going on over there. And then pop culture news, Breakfast Club principal Gleason dies. Paul Gleason, who played the go-to bad guy. He also was in Trading Places. He was that guy who was in that... cage with that monkey at the end of the show. They put him in a monkey suit and they glued on the head and all that stuff. And they threw him in a monkey suit and they threw him in the cell with the real gorilla. And the gorilla kind of had sex with him. So and that was funny. And then the angry school principal in the Breakfast Club, he died. He was 67 years old with a rare lung cancer disease. And then Saturday, Iraqi athletes killed for wearing shorts. An Iraqi tennis coach and two of his players were shot to death this week in Baghdad because they're wearing shorts and because they're bull-legged. No. Authorities said on Saturday, reporting the latest in a series of recent attacks attributed to Islamic extremists. So that was killing somebody who wearing damn shorts. I don't know. And Victoria Principals divorcing her plastic surgeon husband of 20 years. And there go the free Botox injections. I guess she won't be getting any Botox anymore from him. So, and then Friday we had Bush comments from the press conference with Blair made headlines and a stunning admission. King George regrets saying bring it on. And he said regretted saying bring it on and wanted dead or alive. He admitted he should have been more sophisticated in his use of language. He's almost in his 60s. He should be on what's proper, what's not proper by now. Does Bush takes responsibility, though, for the deaths generated by his admitted mistake? Does he accept the logical conclusion his bluster resulted in the killing and maiming of hundreds, if not thousands, of U.S. troops? So that's a question yet to be answered. Swank and Lowe are over. There'll be no happy ending for Hillary Swank and Chad Lowe, just an ending. The couple, who announced they were separating last January, are headed to divorce court after more than 8.5 years of marriage, Swank's camp confirmed on Friday. And then Thursday, Bush and Blair, again, from the press conference, acknowledged Iraq setbacks. Bush and Blair, B&B, acknowledged difficult progress in the Iraq war they launched together in 2003. Both vowed to keep troops there until the fragile new government takes hold. Like I said, they're hiding in their cabinets now. Both admitted making costly mistakes. And numbers add up for number one, CBS. The CBS won its fourth consecutive season. Ratings crown among total viewers, and Fox took a second straight victory among adults 18 to 49, considered a primary ad target. And CBS continued to reign with heavy dose of crime dramas, you know, CSI Toledo's next season, I think. Fox, which ranks fourth among young adults last fall, vaulted to first as Idol returned in January and, you know, bulldozed the competition. Wednesday, Taylor Hicks, of course, was named the new American Idol. Whoop-de-doo. Carter and Mondale surpassed Adams and Jefferson as the longest surviving president and vice president who have lived the longest since leaving office. So good for them. Good for them. And that will move on to news to you. And this first one is today from Iraq. Relentless violence kills 54 in Iraq. Car bombs targeting Shiite areas devastate a bustling outdoor market and an auto dealership on Tuesday. Part of a relentless onslaught that killed 54 people and prompted the United States to deploy more troops to combat insurgents in western Iraq. The bombs also wounded 120 people, officials said. The death toll made Tuesday one of the bloodiest days in Iraq this month, and lawmakers still had not agreed on who should lead the nation's army and police forces. Authorities who captured a suspected terrorist who allegedly confessed to beheading hundreds of people. The operation by Iraqi forces also netted documents, cell phones, computers containing information, information on other wanted terrorists and Islamic extremist groups. So, and also a bombing hit an outdoor market as Iraqis were doing their evening shopping about 60 miles north of Baghdad. At least 25 people were killed and 65 were wounded. Hours earlier, a car packed with explosives blew up at a dealership in the largely Shiite city of Hilla, about 60 miles south of Baghdad, killing at least 12 people and wounding 32. There we go. There's a civil war. A bomb hidden in a plastic bag also detonated outside a bakery. I guess it's not a day old, no more day old bread there, I guess. And the old bakery, outside a bakery in a religious mixed neighborhood in eastern Baghdad, killing at least 9 and injuring 10. So according to Cheney last year, the insurgency was in its last throes. I don't know. A day earlier, 40 people were killed in various attacks. And also today, a year ago today, was Natalie Holloway disappeared a year ago today. A year has passed since Natalie Holloway, accompanied by three young men, walked out of a nightclub, Carlos and Charlie's in Aruba, and into oblivion. 10 suspects have been arrested, questioned, and released, but authorities seem no closer to finding the Alabama team. Teen dead or alive since they were in those first fevered days. I remember Dr. Phil was saying that supposedly he had evidence or supposed evidence that she was in a sex slave industry in Mexico, but that never panned out. And next one's also from today, from the Chicago Tribune. A giant U.S. embassy project that dismays Iraqis. On the western bank of the Tigris River, scenes of intense activity rarely witnessed in Iraq are unfolding behind the fortified perimeter of the closely guarded Green Zone. Trucks shuttle building materials to and fro. Cranes, at least a dozen of them, punch toward the sky. Concrete structures are beginning to take form at a time when most Iraqis are enduring blackouts of up to 22 hours a day. The site is floodlighted by night, so work can continue around the clock. This is this massive, we talked this before, this massive 120 buildings, it's, you know, 156 acres, it's huge, a $592 million embassy project, some of the largest embassy complex in the world. It also is the biggest construction project underway in battered Baghdad. Or else it's about the power, although, you know, there's no power in the city, you know, you only have a few hours of power a day, they managed to keep power going to flood the embassy compound going up 24 hours a day with floodlights, so... The irony is not lost in Mohammed Jassim, a 48-year-old truck driver who was forced out of his home last month by sectarian violence and now is squatting in an abandoned building just across the river from the $592 million embassy project. So that's where our money's going. We're supposed to be leaving that country. You know, why are they putting $592 million into an embassy, the largest complex in the world, if we're not staying there? You know? Also, we had this from Monday. The House playing field expands for Democrats from the Washington Post. When the 2006 cycle started, the talk of a Democratic takeover of the House of Representatives was dismissed by most political professionals. With Republicans sitting in a 15-seat majority, there simply didn't appear to be enough seats that would be truly competitive in November 2006 to warrant legitimate talk of a change. Now, with Bush, his job approval mired in the 30s, and Congress is not faring any better, Republicans privately acknowledge that the toxic political environment has led to a softening in their incumbents' reelection numbers. This, in turn, has put a number of seats that in play that would not be competitive in a neutral year. Man, every seat's up now, and there's something like what, 15 to 20 now? So, and it goes on at the front Washington Post saying, there's little doubt that the playing field has expanded, but it remains to be seen whether the number of truly competitive seats is large enough to give Democrats any sort of margin for error come this fall. So we'll see. And then we had this from David Letterman from the Aeronaut. Top 10 signs that the government is spying on you. Number 10, the post office wall has several photos of you sleeping. Number 9, your houseplant occasionally sneezes. 8, Domino's keeps delivering to an unmarked van across the street. 7, birthday card from your mom has several words blacked out. That's a good one.
It's a free country.
6, you get nominated for outstanding lead performance in an NSA surveillance video. That's a good one. 5, your dishwasher functions are wash, rinse, and record. Number 4, local news only reporting things that are happening in your living room. Number 3, every time you say goodbye on the phone, you hear a strange voice saying, "Roger that, Chico." Number 2, you Googled a recipe for hummus and the FBI raided your house. And number 1, suddenly discovered there's an antenna bolted to your ass. So that was from Letterman. I thought that was hysterical.
Excuse me a sec.
Nope.
Oh, watch what you say.
Uh-oh. Yes, the NSA could be spying. President Bush.
Watch what you say.
Yeah, he doesn't go big at 9:30. Hell no, he's up there.
It's a free country. Sue me. Sue me.
Uh-oh. I think Bush is down there on the listening to our phone calls after 9:30 at night. You know, oh, here, look at this one. Listen to this guy.
I don't know. My shorts.
And then this is also from Tuesday. Pentagon, Iraq insurgency steady until 07. The Sunni Arab part of the Iraqi insurgency seems likely to hold its strength through the rest of the year. And some of its leaders are now collaborating with the Al-Qaeda terrorists.
So, level with me.
Horrible. I wish the Pentagon level with us. In a report assessing the situation in Iraq required quarterly by Congress, the Pentagon painted a mixed picture in a day when U.S. military command in Baghdad said 1,500 more troops have arrived in the country.
What are you babbling about?
The report to Congress offered a relatively dim picture of economic progress with few gains in improving basic services like electricity and provides no promises of U.S. troop reductions anytime soon. So there you go. And there we go, right where we started. Now, no progress. Where's all the progress with the power and the water? Out the window. The horror of war. This is also from today. To date, 73 journalists have died in Iraq. To date, 73 journalists have died in Iraq. Many more have been wounded. These deaths are in addition to the 2,400-plus American soldiers who have died in the war in Iraq. So the war on Iraq, I guess, should be, you know, because we're really blasting the hell out of that country, you know. Look at those kids. I bet you that story about those soldiers killing all those innocent people, that were going and dragging them out of these cars and blowing them away. And the story that one woman was saying on the news, her son was holding the kid's head and the brains were dripping out onto his legs. I mean, good Lord. Bush planted fake news. There we go. Bush planted fake news stories on American TV. Oh, I'm shocked. He would never do that, would he? This is from the Independent Online for Monday. Federal authorities are actively investigating dozens of American television stations for broadcasting items produced by the Bush administration and major corporations and passing them off as normal news. Unbelievable. How much money they throw away on this? Some of the fake news segments talked up success in the war in Iraq or promoted the company's products. Investigators from the FCC.
Fucking dildos.
Oh, there we go. Investigators from the FCC are seeking information about stations across the country after a report produced by a campaign group detailed the extraordinary extent of the use of such items.
No way, really pumps my nads.
They're using this BS stories that they print up as news. Among the items provided by the Bush administration to news stations was one in which an Iraqi American in Kansas City was saying, "Thank you, Bush. Thank you, USA," in response to the 2003 fall of Baghdad. So I remember that. So I can't believe it. That guy, it was all just some BS produced bit by the administration.
You're pretty sexy.
Lord.
A little bit angry.
The footage was actually produced by the State Department, one of 20 federal agencies that had produced and distributed such items. This is bad.
I mean, demented and sad.
How can they get away with this? You know, trumping up the stuff to make the, you know, the, like same thing with the Tillman BS. You know, he was killed by friendly fire.
He must be a fucking idiot.
They didn't release it till weeks later after the memorial. You know, so they want to shroud the memorial in bad news. I mean, come on. Also, this next one is also from Monday. Afghans riot after U.S. action, 8 dead. Violent anti-foreigner protests raged across the capital of Kabul on Monday after a U.S. military truck crashed into traffic, touching off the worst rioting since the Taliban's ouster. At least 8 people died and 107 were injured before Kabul's streets were calmed. Chanting death to America. There you go. Chanting death to America, rioters stoned the U.S. convoy involved in the accident and headed to the center of town, ransacking offices of international aid groups and searching for foreigners in a display of rising resentment over civilian deaths and in the war against insurgents. So like I said, Iraq is now going up for grabs now, too, Afghanistan. They say now, I saw one report saying that actually Afghanistan is actually getting worse than Iraq. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen, you know? Spend the money over there, you know. We got $500 billion down the drain. Now we have to put more into it now to bail out Afghanistan. Rothenberg predicts greater gains for House Democrats. This is from Sunday. National and district level numbers continue to raise red flags for Republicans across the country. In the past cycles, the question was whether Democrats could nationalize races and pick off enough Republican seats to get 218 seats and a majority. Now the environment has already been nationalized, and the question is whether Republicans can localize elections in enough districts to hold on to the House. It is far from clear that they can. So, and he wrote, he's a political hack in D.C. He's increasing their estimate of likely Democratic gains from 7 to 10 seats to 8 to 12 seats, with a bias toward even greater Democratic gains. So, I mean, the tide's turning, but I think this thing with Reid might just push everything back now. So you got to get rid of him. Get rid of Reid, get rid of Dean, bring him some new people.
Show Dick some respect.
And Frist, Mr. Rogers. Frist is protecting the flag isn't pandering. Amending the Constitution to prohibit flag burning may be considered political posturing in the nation's capital, says Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. It's not. Oh, no. It's not pandering to the GOP's conservative base to nurture such protection. Oh, he's full of crap. Of course
you
it's pandering.
He's
out of his mind. It's important to the heart and soul of the American people, said Frist.
It's a free country.
Absolutely, it's a free country. Who is he? Oh, heart and soul. Heart and soul to us is get the gas prices down, get the health care costs down, fix the potholes. You know, it's the heart and soul. You know, but oh.
Excuse me a sec.
He asked on Fox News
you
Sunday.
You threatening me?
Uh-oh. Nope, I'm not threatening anybody. Asked on Fox News Sunday if flag burning and gay marriage were the most important issues the Senate can address in June, Frist said the agenda will focus on securing the country and its values. So, I don't know. They're going to trump that up again to get out all the conservatives.
Have
out
you
the
ever
vote.
Kissed a boy on the mouth?
No. And Afghans riot after a deadly crash. This is, again, talking about that crash again on Monday in Kabul. They talk about witnesses said American soldiers fired on Afghans, throwing stones at them after the crash. Although the United States military said only that warning shots were fired in the air. Where do those bullets land if they fire into the air, I wonder? You know,
Not even close, bud.
They just go into the mists or what? I mean, those bullets land somewhere.
What are you babbling about?
But the crash tapped into a latent resentment of the American military presence here, and violence radiated quickly throughout the city. I like these words, radiated. It's like a radiator. And this is also from Sunday. It's from the top GOP senator. Things are worse off in the Mideast today than they were 3 years ago. Meet the Press with host Tim Russert. Tim Russert invited Republicans Jim Sensenbrenner and Chuck Blah 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 to discuss immigration, the controversy surrounding the FBI raid. Towards the end of the show, Russert asked Senator Hagel about his views on Iran. And Senator Hagel says, finally, Tim, Russert asked Hagel about a statement that he made last week in which he said the Bush administration should engage directly with Iran. Hagel reiterates the point in a sterling, candid assessment of the Mideast policy. He goes on to say, I think you can make a pretty good, strong case that things are worse off in the Mideast today than they were 3 years ago. So, by the measurement of Iraq, by Iran, by the Palestinian-Israeli issue, and what's going on in Egypt.
Do you think I'd speak for you?
So, that was amazing. Chris Hagel is a decorated former soldier and also a GOP staunch conservative, so that was shocking. And also from Sunday, newspaper reports that photos convince investigators that Marines executed Iraqi civilians. Photographic evidence has convinced investigators that Marines executed Iraqi civilians after a roadside bomb attack last November. Also, the paper is reporting, this is the Independent from the UK, is that one of the Marines used a mobile phone to take horrific photographs of the alleged massacre. Well, let me see. How can you take a photograph of something that's alleged? So, I don't know. The British newspaper also reports that the U.S. troops could be facing the death penalty. Photographs. There you go. How do they do that in the military? I don't know. They line them up? I don't know. Photographs taken by Marine. Photographs taken by a Marine intelligence team had convinced and have
do it again.
They have convinced.
And admiring my butt from the pavement with the straw.
The photographs taken by a Marine intelligence team have convinced investigators that a Marine unit killed as many as 24 unarmed Iraqis, some of them execution style, in the insurgent stronghold of Haditha.
Jihad!
Wow. Pictures said to show wounds to the upper bodies of the victims, who included several women and six children. Some were shot in the head and some in the back, congressional and defense officials said. Terrible. The case may be the most serious incident of alleged war crimes in Iraq by U.S. troops. So, disgusting. Horrible. Horrible. Get those damn troops out of there. You know, I say we finish what we do, but drag them out to the, pull the troops out to the border and let those damn Iraqis rip each other apart.
You know? Laughable, man.
And poor Murtha, they're beating the hell out of him over this thing. Oh, he's full of crap. He's some old bastard. He turned out to be right about this thing the whole time. You know? Amazing. This is also from Sunday. Mayor Bloomberg wants same-sex marriage licenses. During his weekly Sunday radio address, Michael Bloomberg from New York announced, the billionaire Michael Bloomberg announced that if Circuit Court of Appeals in New York does not rule in favor of the city issuing same-sex marriage licenses, he will work with others in the city and state legislatures to establish a new law that establishes marriage equality. I don't know.
He's doing something to his ass. He's not kicking his ass, but he's definitely doing something to his ass.
I think he's scratching his ass. I don't know. But I think he's going to run for president as an independent. So he's the only one out there. He's got enough money. He's like $5 billion. And he said when he leaves office from being mayor, he's going to give away most of his money. So maybe he'll start a new political party. That'd be nice. Oh, that's a good thing. So let's hope so. He starts a third party. So I'm a Democrat. But I want to see the somebody come up and keep the other two in check, you know, between the Democrats and Republicans. Democratic strategist sees strong election showing. There we go. This is good news. Senator Charles Schumer, a New York Democrat, said on Sunday his party will do very, very well in November's midterm elections.
Democrats piss me off.
But stop short of saying Democrats will retake the U.S. Senate. So he's already saying, pretty much saying they're taking the House. I think that we're going to do very, very well, said Schumer. So he told CBS's DeFace the Nation. The American people want change because this administration has been incompetent. They see an administration that seems to substitute ideology and cronyism for competence. Yeah, he's pretty right on there. The Republicans are not ahead in a single blue seat, and we are even or ahead in five of theirs, Schumer said, in reference to the Republican red states, mostly in the South and West. Americans want better ethics, better energy, better education, better health care, better stem cell and better stem cell research. So, absolutely. Absolutely. So, hopefully, we'll kick some Republican ass in November. Let's hope so. Saturday, White House invokes privilege in spy cases. The Bush administration has asked federal judges in New York and Michigan to dismiss a pair of lawsuits filed over the National Security Agency's domestic eavesdropping program, saying litigating them would jeopardize state secrets. Get a load of this. In papers filed late Friday, Justice Department lawyers said it would be impossible to defend the legality of the spying program without disclosing classified information that could be of value to suspected terrorists. National Intelligence Director John Negroponte, invoked the state secrets privilege on behalf of the administration, writing that disclosure of such information would cause exceptionally grave danger to national security. So they're pretty much admitting this spy program is going on with doing this stuff. You know, this is ridiculous. The government's motion, widely anticipated, involves two cases challenging an NSA program that allows investigators to eavesdrop on Americans who communicate with people outside the country suspected of terrorist ties. In New York, the Center for Constitutional Rights has asked a judge to stop the program, saying it was an abuse of presidential power. Absolutely. The ACLU and other groups filed a similar suit in Detroit. Absolutely, abuse of president. It's abuse of any kind of power what we can have. I mean, who is he to be tapping all of our phones and all this stuff? You know, they got the FISA court is there for a reason. They set it up just for this reason. You know, he can't get approval of this. He's going around and he's strong arming these telecommunications companies to cough up our phone records and everything else. And then now they're buying. Records of our buying habits and stuff from outside companies because it's against the government's policy to mine people's buying habits and stuff. So they're buying this stuff on the open market with our money. I mean, if this doesn't make you sick, I don't know what does. You know, I mean, it's just every week it's on and on and on. And it just drives me nuts about this thing with this Jack Snow. I mean, just last week Bush was saying, oh, he's not resigning. And all of a sudden, he's resigning. So, I mean, what's going on with this, you know? It makes you sick, you know. And as I said, I feel the wind coming our way, and it's going to be. Hopefully, it's going to landslide and clobber those Republicans. You know, they've deserved it. They've been asking for it for 6 years now. So I hope so. So, and I think with that, we'll bring on our lovely guest. Okay, just a moment. But anyway, I got one more story here about Al Gore. Gore, and is he the right man in the right place at the right time? Absolutely. Although Al Gore may be able to pull off the Nixon-style comeback of some bloggers' fantasies, he may not be. Oh, what are you talking about? He can make a comeback. This guy's crazy. Who's this guy? Frank Rich. I think it's perfect. This movie coming out sets up Gore perfectly, you know, to lay waste to the Republicans in 08. That's what I think. So, and as I said, Hillary, as much as I was a supporter of hers, she's too divisive to be president of the United States for right now. But I think we're ready for Molly. Wow. And we're joined by Molly from the liberal girl next door. Molly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Sean. How are you tonight?
Fine. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sound very good. Thank you.
Yeah, Gore Feingold, 08.
Gore? Oh, you think so? You think, I don't know about Feingold. He's going through a second divorce and everything.
Well, you know, we should be a progressive society. We're a progressive party. We can push for a progressive society.
Yeah, well, I like Gore Boxer in 08, personally.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be strong.
It would be nice to finally have a woman on the ticket. Yeah, I mean, it was the 80s last time we had a woman on the ticket at all, so that would definitely be a good thing.
Absolutely. Now, give everybody a little background about yourself, because this is your first time on the program.
Yes.
So,
I started my blog, The Liberal Girl Next Door, in October of last year, after the elections and feeling a little bit frustrated about the state of our country and not really knowing what to do. I was floundering around. My husband said, here, you need to sit down and write. Go to Blogger, sign up, make an account, and do that. So I've been writing every day since then.
Yeah. It's amazing. I started this program, going to be 2 years in October already, and it's just amazing. I thought I'd get sick of it after a while, you know, but I mean, Bush administration's been a wonderful talk show material.
Oh, absolutely. They're a fountain of outrage, you know, every single day. I always wonder, what am I going to write about tomorrow? But I wake up in the morning and open up the paper, and there's plenty to write about.
Yeah, and then this thing today, I keep, you know, harking back to last week's speech at the press conference with Bush and Blair, where he says, Snow's not resigning from the Treasury. Also, and this week, not only did he resign, the replacement's already in the wings. You know?
Yep.
So it's like, well, what the hell was last week all about then, you know?
Yeah, lying seems to be second nature to him, so.
Or first nature. I don't mean the truth is second nature. I don't know. You know, so you're from Seattle. So are you sleepless in Seattle? Always got to get that out.
No. I'm not sleepless anymore. Since I started the blog, I sleep much more soundly.
Yeah, really? Yeah. It just left some steam and everything. It's amazing. And then today we're talking about that horrible mess in Haditha with those civilians getting killed and everything.
Yeah.
And they're saying that the report's going to be devastating when that comes out, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure. The investigation so far, from what I've read, doesn't look good, so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's horrible, and I was in my news segment before, I was saying how Murtha, they're saying, oh, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago when he first started talking about this, everybody's saying, oh, he's an old goat, and he's just making it up, he's a hack and everything. Now it looks like he's a genius, you know?
Exactly. Well, yeah. The more days that pass, Murtha looks better and better. The Democrats should be at least a little bit sorry that they shunned him when he called for, you know, immediate redeployment of our troops months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, I agree. You know, we're there. We can't just pull all the troops out, let the country go to hell. You know, we have to, like I said, pull them out to the, like he said, pull them out to the border, mm-hmm. guard the border, and let the Iraqis slug it out in the interior of the country. We can protect the border from any of those, you know, clowns coming in from Iran. And we can guard those oil fields, you know?
Yeah, as long as we're in there, in theater, you know, trying to deal with an insurgency that we can control, that we seem to be, a great recruiting tool for the insurgency. I just can't see how we solve the problem from within the borders at this point.
Yeah, and also on your blog, you're talking about a speech that Catherine Cryer made. Now, I didn't see it, but she's on Court TV now? Is that it?
I don't know if she's still on Court TV.
Okay, but she gave a commencement address?
Yeah, she did. Trying to remember, it was a college in Connecticut, I believe. And it was a beautiful speech, but it's, you know, she kind of lays out all of the transgressions against our Constitution over the last 7 years, and really there hasn't been enough resistance. The separations of power and the amount of power that this, president is trying to pull into the White House is really hasn't been enough of a backlash or even an attempt to stop that.
Yeah.
And that creates a dangerous situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Constitution seems to be irrelevant except when they want to use it, because, when I'm the wartime president, I got wartime president, I'm the commander-in-chief. Well, you seem to use it when it's to your advantage. When you want it, you just, like I said, this administration seems like, I hate to use inflammatory language in this program, but they like to either blow their nose in the Constitution or wipe their asses with it.
Yep.
What I'm saying?
Yep.
And then at their side of their mouth, the Constitution, we got enough electoral votes to, get Gore, booted out and everything else. I mean, it's amazing.
It is. And I've been going through all of the things that have been, unprecedented mm-hmm. since Bush, came on the scene, starting with the 2000 election, and having the Supreme Court decide an election was unprecedented in history. And there's just been so many things. And now, this week with the FBI going into a sitting congressman's office and on a subpoena and confiscating records and spending 18 hours in the office clearly looking through records is unprecedented. There's just, I just don't know how many unprecedented things we just let slide.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this whole administration, it's funny. It's like sometimes they're like the Keystone Cops because, they do this, violating the separation of powers, going to his, office on the Hill, and yet they destroy this farm in Detroit looking for Jimmy Hoffa's body for how much money they throw down the drain over there?
I have no idea. But yeah, that was crazy. Amazingly, they still haven't found him.
No, and also you talk about on your blog about Bush's contrition at the. Oh yeah, I was teary-eyed listening to him say, "Oh, I." he wants us to think that he's some. He wants us to use his. Our opinion of him as a dumbass, really.
Yeah.
He's just, we know George Bush, he can't speak, he can't put two syllables together without screwing him up.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to say, he said, I didn't mean to say, saying bring it on was wrong and also wanted dead or alive. And then he said, those comments could be misconstrued in some parts of the world. I mean, how can you misconstrue those words? They're pretty much clear cut to me.
Yes, they are. and notice he didn't apologize for, using the... when he was talking about going on a crusade. You know, that was probably the worst one that was misconstrued in other parts of the world. But, yeah, what I found, I don't know, offensive may be too strong of a word, but, you know, he apologized for matters of style, but he's never apologized for the substance of what has really, you know, brought us to this point, especially in Iraq. So many mistakes made in the rationale for going to war, in making the case for war, how it's been executed every step along the way, and, you know, no apology for any of that, no accepting responsibility for any of that, but, you know, bring it on and dead or alive.
Yeah, I mean, this whole war has been botched. I said, you know, I was reading about the story about the largest embassy complex in the world going up there. And if we're supposed to be leaving that country, how come we're building the largest embassy complex ever created by man? You know, it's just, here, it's giant, and it's, you know, the city itself has blackouts. There's only a couple hours a night with power. Yet they flood that project with power day and night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the bases that we hear that they're, you know, building permanent bases, although I haven't seen any pictures of that, but. Yeah, it doesn't seem like we're leaving anytime soon.
Yeah, these giant bases in the southern Iraq. Well, if we're leaving, how come we're building these huge bases there? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
And they don't think we know this stuff. I mean, do they not realize how many people are on the internet now that can find this information? You know,
I don't know that they don't know. I think it's just that they don't care. There really hasn't been any repercussions for all of their transgressions before. I just don't think that. They believe anybody has the political will to stand up to them anyway.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, last week I was talking about that. You know how the Congress pretty much has rolled over, or they're in bed with Bush. You know, that's why it's good for the press. You know, everybody, all the press, they're a bunch of, you know, trying to get scoops. Well, they have to because the Congress isn't doing their job as a check on the president.
Yeah, and the press certainly isn't doing their job as a check on either one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's why we need to get the Democrats in there. You know, it's like, I don't know if you've been following this thing with Harry Reid today, but this thing with the boxing tickets, you know, I'm like, oh, my God.
No, I didn't hear about that.
Well, yeah, it's breaking here because, you know, it's Las Vegas. And then, supposedly he violated the Senate rules when he took these free tickets from the Nevada Boxing Commission to go see these fights. You know, so well, I don't like Reid anyway. You know, I mean, I'm from Nevada. You ever seen him? He looks, you know, I say, he looks like he's been sucking on a pickle for about 4 hours. And he's got these beady little eyes.
Like everybody's grandfather.
he's horrible. The only time you hear from Reid when he's up for re-election here in Vegas, every time you don't, and then his son's on the county commission, it's like a little cartel he's building here. You know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they said, and he stuck his foot in his mouth so many times. You know, I mean, I wish we had more eloquent leaders of the party running it.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah, like same thing with Dean. You know, Dean's got the chronic foot in the mouth disease. He's always sticking his foot in his mouth. He's another. What do you think of Howard Dean?
I think Howard Dean is great. I think that he really has the ability to connect with people in a way that politicians seem really to be lacking these days. Mm-hmm. They really are isolated in Washington, D.C. They're surrounded by aides who tell them, you know, what they want to hear, and I think that they lose that ability to talk to people when they go back home to their districts or to their states, and especially out on the campaign trail. And I think Dean has always been able to do that really well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you say hopefully he has a smart policy about make sure the Democrats are competitive in all 50 states and everything.
Yeah.
But then, who was it?
I think that's critical, and I really admire the fact that he's really stood with that too, even given the pressure from some of the, you know, the more elites in the party and the big money donors. He's really stood up to them and said, nope, we're going to put this money into the state infrastructure, which I really think is critical.
Yeah, but I see there's like infighting. There's a story I don't think I brought with me from a couple weeks ago about, was it Rahm Emanuel storming out of his office because they don't like how Dean's going through all the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I could see because, you know, it's a crucial year and Democrats are on the verge of something really, you know, good here, and it'd be a shame if there's no money, you know, in November to, you know, spend on advertisements.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So I don't know, unless Dean is thinking, well, you know, the MoveOn.org is out there and some of the others, they can pick up the slack. I don't know.
Well, I think that also what he's thinking is, generally, congressional races are won locally, and by having a strong local party, you can make maybe even more of a difference than just by advertising on the television. I mean, that may be what he's thinking. I'm not sure, but it seems like a reasonable proposition.
Yeah. Now, in their story, I was reading about the how the Democrats are succeeding pretty much in making this midterm congressional elections national in scope. And then the Republicans are doing reverse. They're trying to make the elections local in scope. Now, how do you think? You think that's going to be successful for them, or you think the Democrats are going to prevail, making this a referendum on Bush and the the war in Iraq and everything?
I think they can be successful at it. I really do. It depends. You still have to play to whatever district, especially congressional races. Mm-hmm. You have to play to the district. But I even see that in smaller districts here in Washington State. They are making them national because those are the issues that really are dominating the discourse even locally for people. So I hope that it can work. I really think that it will. The numbers do seem to suggest that. Overall, Americans are not satisfied with the way things are going, both obviously in Iraq and then, as far as domestic policy. And even though the economy looks good on paper, it really doesn't feel very good to most people. So,
yeah, now you're up in Seattle. Now, how are these national issues playing up there? Do you find people talk, Iraq is a mess and we can't trust Bush? Or do you find it's more local issues about schools and things like that?
Well, we're having a big school issue right now here. So that's been a big issue, at least amongst the people that I've been talking to. But, Seattle obviously is a very liberal city. Mm-hmm. You don't see, a Bush bumper stickers really anywhere around. So I don't hear people, discussing or defending Bush in any way. But the war is a big, big issue. The war is a really big issue for people. And I think it's actually hurting our state senator, our senator from our state, Maria Cantwell, because she hasn't handled the war very well, so that's proving to be a problem for her.
Really? Now, how are people up there, are they already looking towards 08? I mean, they see like Hillary Clinton or Al Gore. I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
I see lots of Gore bumper stickers
really?
Around. Yeah. Not so much for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I said I used to be a supporter of hers until I looked into it more and saw her negatives. Every time I see a poll, I look at those negatives. 42%, that's always going to be right there, 42%. It's hard to get around that.
Yeah, I really, as much as I would like to see a woman president, I think that she probably would be the best shot at that right now.
Yeah.
But I just don't think she can get over that hurdle. I think that if she runs and if she gets the nomination, it's going to be a squeaker, and she still probably won't be able to squeak it out.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. In Gore, especially with this movie coming out, he's got such a and people like the underdog, and there's a perception out there, even countrywide, that that poor guy, he got screwed the last time, and he gave it up for the sake of the country. Everybody's remember that speech at the end and all that. So maybe if the timing's perfect with this movie and everything.
It's definitely an interesting thought, I've long said that if the Gore of today had ran in 2000, it wouldn't even have been close.
Oh, it would have been a landslide.
It would have been a landslide.
Yeah.
And I think that I get the sense that he's learned that lesson.
Yeah. Well, because I'm Edwards, I'm for Edwards, unless Gore runs, then it's Al Gore, because I don't think Edwards can hold a candle to Al Gore. Al Gore just roll right over him.
Yeah, I like John Edwards, too. He's good.
Yeah, and then
he's another one of those that can talk to people really well.
Oh yeah,
he has a really good message for working people.
Yeah, because he's addressing the poverty issue because he's running that institute in North Carolina, and it just makes a lot of sense. I mean, even here in Vegas, you see the separation when you drive down here where the studios at. I mean, it's such a bad area, and you feel sorry for these people, and then you go 10 miles away, and it's gated communities with these huge mansions. The haves and the have-nots, it's incredible. And then also in your blog, he says, taking it to John McCain. Absolutely. I've been saying we need to take some wind out of his sails. it's amazing. People forget. I remember that one, that clown that was his aide says, I wish if you only had a third of McCain's character. Like I said last week, is that the third that was in the Keating 5 banking scandal years ago?
Yeah. Or is that, the third that's sucking up to the extreme religious fundamentalist right, too.
Yeah. Is that the one is that the John McCain that's basically grabbing his ankles for Falwell?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to say it, but it's true. I mean, this is not the same McCain that ran, 8 years ago.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I really cannot see him, I'd see, George Allen getting a nomination for John McCain.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That could be interesting. Yeah. I don't know, though. I think that that Republicans still have a love affair with John McCain right now.
Kidding me? Because you know, he'd be older in his first term than Reagan was in his second.
Oh wow! Really?
Yes. The age issue is a factor. You know, and you know, it just I don't know about McCain. They say he's got a nasty temper. He looks like he's highly wound. If you watch him on TV,
yes, he does.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw him on. Was he on? Meet the Press, and, and Russer says thank you very much. He goes, I enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed my last interrogation over in Vietnam.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think? On your blog, he says, why wait till November to get your 2006 congressional election? How do you think that's going to pan out?
The 2006 election?
Yes.
I really think that if the Democrats can be successful in nationalizing the election, they should, the numbers indicate that they should be able to take at least one house or one chamber of commerce of Congress, maybe even two. I mean, it seems that that's the way it's going, but who knows what the Republicans are going to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, if Roe is still around, if he ends up not getting indicted in that whole scandal, then, you know, who knows what he'll be able to pull out. But I think even more detrimental than what the Republicans will do, it's what the Democrats won't do. And I'm afraid that they're still running scared and still running to the middle and really not articulating exactly what it is the Democrats stand for. I think that they're trying, and I like these reports they keep putting out, and and that's good, but I don't have enough faith in them yet to really say the right things and mean what they say.
Yeah, it's... Democrats says we got to get our act together. Maybe they're waiting until, because the contract with America didn't come out until 6 weeks before the election. So maybe they're just sitting on this, waiting, you know, get closer, and then they'll come out with their own little contract with America.
That'd be great.
Hopefully. It's just that I hope nothing, you know, this Reed thing, you know, throws it up there, and then that other clown with the $100,000, I mean, that kind of muddies the water a little bit.
In his freezer,
yeah, William Jefferson, and it's just, I don't know, I just, you know, it's like, oh, things are going so well, and then this has to come up, you know?
Yeah, well, and it seems that the Republicans are doing a really good job on holding off their scandals, too.
Mm.
If they can push a lot of this stuff past the election, I guess they'll do much better, but it's looking like a lot of this stuff might break right before, which will not be, you know, a good thing for Republicans generally.
Oh, I hope so. I hope this Karl Rove business, they indict him like the night before the election or something, huh? That'd be perfect timing, wouldn't it?
No, I think like 3 days before, so you'd have 24/7 coverage
there
for the 3 days before the election.
There you go. And maybe they'll subpoena Cheney to testify, too. They fire one of those at him. And
exactly.
Like 2 days for you. They could time it like one a day, one little scandal. Three, you know, one, two, three, you know. You know, really, they have Rove indicted, Cheney subpoenaed to testify,
yep.
And something with Abramoff, they come up with something, you know, maybe with Bush shaking hands at Christmas or something. Or exchanging gifts or something, or, you know.
Oh, yeah, it looks like, yeah, I mean, I think it was last week, we start hearing about Denny Hastert's going to get pulled into this whole thing, you know, and Bonner is going to get pulled into this whole Abramoff thing, so who knows.
Bonner, I don't feel sorry for him because, you know, he was out on the floor of the Congress handing out checks from the tobacco lobby years ago. So, and he claims he didn't know any better. I'm like, this ignorance business only goes so far, you know?
If you're not smart enough to know that, you're not smart enough to be, you know, our congressman.
Yeah. How the hell did you get elected if you didn't know this? You know, they give you the rules when you're in Congress. They sit you down. Same thing with Bush. Oh, I didn't know people would take my work, you know, my words out of, you know, Bring It On and Dead or Alive, how they would play across the world. Are you out of your mind? You know,
yeah.
You're almost 60 years old. You have no idea what your words mean.
Yeah. Well, and besides, if it's not against the rules, common decency should tell them that this is not appropriate behavior.
Well, the Republicans, they don't have any common decency. You got to remember
not
that.
Not big on common decency.
No. Or common sense. You know? it's true. I mean, if it was Clinton there saying that, they would have drummed him out of office, you know?
Oh, if one of these scandals had happened, during the Clinton years, it would have been, you know, just, he would have been eviscerated by the press and the public and the Republicans and drummed out of office, and, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the eavesdropping thing, oh, my Lord, they would have dragged him physically out of the White House and tarred and feathered him.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean it's ridiculous. You know, they, I keep saying that, you know, we gotta, you know, the Democrats gotta stop Bush now. You know, and you know when they get the control of Congress, you know, blast that White House with subpoenas.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know, and you know, investigate the hell out of them, because what they do now sets the stage for, you know, do you want, you know, say a prison Hillary to take it a step further and say instead of just, you know, taking your phone line, actually listening in on your calls. I mean,
exactly.
You know, I mean, or any president, you know, another Republican or a Democrat. Do you want them taking? Oh, Bush did this, so I can go a little further.
Yep, that's, you know, that slippery slope that's just so scary when you're sitting, you know, perched on the edge of it.
Yeah. I mean, and then this whole leak, CIA leak case, I mean, it keeps percolating, you know? And then,
yeah.
Now, truthout.org, I don't know, what happened to them? I mean, they're saying that he's going to get indicted, and then nothing happened.
Well, yeah, I think, I don't know, I've just been speculating that it's, you know, it's everybody's been speculating on the CIA leak investigation, but it seems that Jason Leopold at Truthout did have some sources, and it seemed as if, you know, some of the major networks were onto the same story, but he jumped out in front of it, and you never know what kind of backroom maneuverings are going on, deals, trades, that sort of thing, and it seemed as if, at least to me, that possibly some things were worked out so that Rove may be doing some sort of cooperating that kept his indictment sealed until a later date.
Yeah.
You know, that's just purely speculation, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they definitely, Truthout definitely got out way in front of that story and turned out badly for them.
Yeah, well, hopefully some don't come out, will give them, you know, clear them a little bit and everything. I mean, now a question for the chairman: where's your stance on the illegal immigration? Those two bills, are you more aligned with the Senate bill or the House bill?
The House bill is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it seems draconian to me.
Oh, good word. I like that. Draconian. Yes.
Yeah.
Draconian.
It's bad.
Republicans are draconian in this policy.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
You know, I think the Senate bill is a much better way. This was one of those issues where I watched the president give his address, and it was the first time that I wasn't throwing things at the screen, and I actually agreed with a lot of what the president said.
That's what I said, too.
I think
too.
That politically it was probably the worst speech he could have ever given.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, you know, he was right about a lot of things. I'm still not sure how I feel about a guest worker program. I think that creates a whole bunch of problems with a, you know, an underclass that we're bringing in. You're good enough to work here, but not good enough to be one of us, and I think that's a problem. But, you know, it's a complicated issue, and I really hope that at some point some real immigration reform can be enacted that really does either solve some of the problems and go after the employers who are enticing these people over the border.
Yeah, I mean, it's 50-50, like I said. I mean, I'm a Democrat, but I see it's half our government's fault because they didn't do anything to stop, you know, this flood of immigrants coming in.
Uh-huh.
And it's half the fault of corporate America that encourages this, to give them jobs, you know.
Yep.
And it's 50-50, and we can't round up, you know, 12 to 20 million people. That's ridiculous. That's draconian of the Republicans if they're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you need a common sense a policy that, you know, we're America. We're not supposed to be like that, rounding people up and throwing them out. You know, this is, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, some kind of common sense thing. And then this thing with you've been here 3 years, you can stay, but you have to pay. I mean, nobody's going to be able to follow that. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
are you gonna come out hide out of the shadows? They say, you know, I gotta think back. My name is Jose. I'm over here. I've been here 3 years. I gotta pay $3,000. I'll just stay in the shadows.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that either one of these bills really tackles the problem. I think that they're just trying to get out of it in the best political way that they can at this point,
yeah,
regardless of whether or not it actually solves the problem.
Yeah, and putting those troops down there, I mean, and then here now they're not even going to be armed and everything. I don't know.
Yeah, it always worries me when Bush talks about, you know, troops on the border.
Yeah, I suspect the pullout date's going to be November 8th, I think the day after the midterm elections, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and like my husband said, so what does that mean? So then as soon as the Border Patrol stands up, then our National Guard will stand down?
No.
So, we've heard that before.
Yeah,
somewhere.
As they stand up, the troops will stand up.
Exactly.
You know, it's some of this hyperbole they have here is this, you know, insane, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then you know, I just can't believe it. I say, how can the American people have been this dumb twice? You know, to put him in office twice. Well, first time he was selected by the Supreme Court, but I mean,
yeah.
You know, dumb the second time, and then we'll be, you know, can we be this dumb to vote in McCain? You know,
I don't know. I certainly hope not. I certainly hope not.
Yeah, that's why we got to push Al Gore. I'm going to urge everybody to go see that Inconvenient Truth and run up those box office numbers.
Yes, definitely this weekend. I know. I'm telling everybody I know. Go this weekend, too.
Yeah.
Get those numbers up.
Well, Molly, you want to say anything else before we let you go?
No. That was great. I had fun.
We'll have to bring you back. Now, you have your own podcast, don't you?
Yes, I do. In fact, I have to run over there and do that in about just 5 minutes or so.
Give me some good reviews here now.
Oh, definitely. I will.
Okay. And what's your address? What's the website for the your podcast?
For the podcast, yes. I do with a group of other people. It's a panel discussion. And you can find the RSS feeds and archives at podcastingliberally.com. Mm. And then you can visit my website also at liberalgirlnextdoor.com.
Well, very good. Molly, we thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you very much, John.
We'll have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Nice evening.
Thank you, too. Bye. And that was Molly, very nice, from Seattle. We thank you for being on the program. Wonderful guest. You know, we clicked very well here. I wonder if she's married. I'll propose to her. I'll propose to Katie Sackhoff. Anyway, in the second hour, we'll be right back with the some pop culture news and some other news. And the news, I'll finish off the news I didn't get to, and then we'll talk about pop culture. It must be the Daleks getting to me. Daleks. And then Koenig Rules will be on with some sci-fi news and everything else. And we'll be right back. Thank you.
In a fight at Gumby, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under, where women go and men wonder? Can't you hear that thunder? You better take cover. Buying bread from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under, from Peter's Law and Manchester. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want, just do not call me late for dinner. And it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, which means it's time for Subject to Discussion live in LV Rocks. And also part of the antiradio.net podcast, as well as Meeker Broadcasting. And I'm reading Darth Marley is going off on me in the chat room there. I mean, for crying out loud, Republicans have all these big mouths and blowholes. I got Rush, you got Hannity, you got everybody and their brother. You know, we should have a little equal time here. We'd be able to bash Bush. I mean, I remember all the crap they did on, pulled on Clinton. So in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Koenig Rules. And in the meantime, I'll finish off my news here and go into some pop culture stuff before Koenig joins us. And it's good to talk to Molly. It's very nice. I like that. Very good repartee and everything else. Very concise, and she was right on what she said. So let's hope so. I mean, I'm a Democrat, like I said, but I do not want to see the Democrats get both houses of Congress. Just one. You know, they can be a check on each other, and then we can call hearings, and they'll all have to compromise. Bush in the Senate and the Democrats in the House. And that's what I want. I don't want the complete control, because we've seen what happens now with the Republicans drunk with power in D.C. We don't want the same thing that has already happened to Democrats once. You know, they say they won't do that, but they do. They get carried away. So in the meantime, I'm going to finish off the news. I had this from Saturday about the White House invoking privilege in the spy cases. The Bush administration has asked federal judges in New York, I'm already talking about that, but they're trying to dismiss the lawsuits over the eavesdropping program, which is ridiculous. You know, first, these phone companies violated their own policies in regards to the secret privacy of their customers. You know, they should be brought to bear over this. And like I said, Gore, right man in the right place at the right time. This is from Frank Rich. I was talking about this before he brought Molly on. Although Gore may not be able to pull off the Nixon-style comeback of some bloggers' fantasies, Rich believes that the former vice president is capable of patriotically goading the national debate onto a higher ground. So, I don't know. We'll see. But Rich compares and contrasts the recent coverage of Gore, citing the mainstream media and blogs such as Huffington Post and Daily Kos, with that of the Democratic Party's presumptive presidential frontrunner, Hillary Clinton. So, Clinton, if Hillary Clinton is the Antichrist, might not it be time for a resurrected Messiah to inherit and save the earth? I like that analogy. Enter Gore, celebrated by New York Magazine as cover as the un-Hillary. So I like that. If Hillary's the Antichrist, might not it be time for a resurrected Messiah? So Gore is the Messiah. Rich calls Gore's denials whenever asked if he has plans to run for president again as Clinton-esque. So let's hope so. Hope he runs. I hope so. And Alberto Gonzalez, our attorney general, pressures internet service providers on data retention. This is from ZDNet from Sunday. Gonzalez and FBI Director Robert Mueller on Friday urged telecommunications officials to record their customers' internet activities. The CNetNews.com has learned. In a private meeting with industry representatives, Gonzalez, Mueller, and other senior members of the Justice Department said internet service providers should retain subscriber information and network data for 2 years, according to two sources familiar with the discussion. So they're still at it. Now they want the internet, AOL and all them to keep everything keep the records for 2 years now. So now we can't even download halfway decent porn anymore without Bush knowing what we're doing. So, and also we had, Bush's attorney general and top officials were ready to quit on Friday. I wish they would have quit. Gonzalez and senior officials and career prosecutors at the Justice Department told associates this week that they were prepared to quit if the White House directed them to relinquish evidence seized in a bitterly disputed search of William Jefferson's office, blah, blah, we know about that. And also from Friday, we had Iraqi civilians' deaths unjustified. It's more about that Haditha disaster, which is going to bite us in the ass when that report comes out. And a Marine scandal could roil Iraq. The U.S. military is bracing for a major scandal over the alleged slaying of Iraqi civilians by Marines in Haditha. Charges so serious that they could threaten President Bush's effort to rally support at home. He has no support at home for an increasingly unpopular war. While the case has attracted little attention so far in Iraq, it could inflame hostility to the U.S. president, just as Iraq's new government is getting established. And complicate efforts by moderate Sunni Arab leaders to reach out to their community, the bedrock of the insurgency. Lawmakers have been told the criminal investigation will be finished in about 30 days. But a Pentagon official said investigators believe Marines committed unprovoked murder in the deaths of about 2,000 people in Haditha in November. Hagee went over there to pound some sense in those guys over there. And also, he says here, statement gave no further details except that several service members have been sent back to the United States pending results of the criminal investigation. So we'll see what happens with that. It's terrible, terrible. And another war, another PR firm. This is from Friday. This is from Jewish Week. They're tracking how the bogus claim that Iran passed a law forcing Jews and Christians to wear color code badges over ever made it into print. Where did the story originate? From a column by neoconservative Amir Tahiri, pushed by his PR agency, Benador Associates, and first published by Canada's The National Post. We all have to get better at rapid debunking, as the right-wing PR firms are already dishing out the propaganda to sucker us into another war. I like the wording of that. It's true. You got to keep an eye on them now. Now they're dropping, producing news bits to be played on the news, and the TV's news aren't telling us it's produced by the Bush administration. And got to keep an eye on the prize here. Look in the mirror, New York Times, Bob Herbert column. So we've kidnapped people, sent them off to be tortured in an extraordinary rendition program, and we've incarcerated people in Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere without trial or even the right to know what the charges against them, and we're allowing the CIA to operate secret, super secret prisons where God knows what is going on, and we're listening in on phone calls and reading the email of innocent Americans without warrants, and on and on and on. The Bushies will tell you that it is dangerous and even against the law to inquire into these nefarious activities. We just have to trust the king. He goes on, I give you fair warning, this is a roadmap to totalitarianism. The hallmarks of totalitarianism regimes have been always included in excessive reliance on secrecy. So he goes on and on and on. So I thought that was amazing how he's going on that. U.S. resident says do not trust their leaders. Exogby International Poll, interactive poll, finds that U.S. voters are more distrustful than ever of political and corporate leaders. Only 3% believe Congress is trustworthy. 7% think business leaders are trustworthy. 24% say King George can be trusted. And 29% trust the courts. So, and then that gunfire on Friday in the Capitol turns out to be some kind of air hammer going off. These reports were just, people were saying there was a gunman in the locker room. I mean, good grief, like mayhem. And let's see, intelligence czar can waive SEC rules. This is from Thursday. President George W. Bush has bestowed on his intelligence czar, John Negroponte, broad authority in the name of national security to excuse publicly traded companies from their usual accounting and securities disclosure obligations. Notice the development came in a brief entry in the Federal Register on May 5th, 2006. So, unbeknownst to all, blah, blah, blah. So, now they're saying they could waive matters. So, getting sick of this political stuff. So, I'll move on to some of this pop culture business here. Blah, blah, blah. So, the House also passed the $93.6 billion 2007 agricultural spending bill. So, that's good. And the pop culture bit I have here for bring on Koenig Rules is that Batwoman hero is returning. Batwoman returns as a lesbian comic book heroine. Batwoman is to make a comeback as a lipstick lesbian who moonlights as a crime fighter, a DC Comics spokesman has confirmed. Batwoman, whose real name is Kathy Kane, could be a takeoff of Bob Kane, will appear in 52, a year-long DC Comics publication that began this month. In her latest incarnation, she is a rich socialite who has a romantic history with another 52 character, ex-police detective Renee Montoya. 52 will be published in the UK, blah, blah, blah. And the series is set in a world where in which established superheroes like Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman no longer play a part. That'll be interesting. The new look Batwoman is just one of a wave of ethnically and sexually diverse characters entering the DC Comics universe. Others include a Mexican teenager named the Blue Beetle, the Great Ten, a government-sponsored team of Chinese superheroes. So, yeah, I don't know. Firestorm and the Atom, meanwhile, have been reinvented as black and Asian heroes, respectively. So it's like they're redoing all these superheroes. And also, Paris Hilton plans reggae hip-hop album. Paris Hilton says her upcoming album will be a mix of reggae, pop, and hip-hop, and will be the with the first single being a reggae song called Stars Are Blind. Actually, the first one should be Stars Are Untalented. So, I mean, it's just crazy. And what else we have here? So Paris Hilton's going to sing us a song. And she's also going to do a remake of Rod Stewart's song, Do You Think I'm Sexy? She was quoted saying in the June issue of Hong Kong magazine Prestige. So, I don't know. And then Tuesday, we had Jolie's baby delivered by cesarean. The African-born daughter of Hollywood couple Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt was delivered by cesarean section in a weekend surgery, and the birth went flawlessly. And I read where they gave $300,000 to the country of Namibia, so hopefully it's helped that country out. And somebody else is saying that they think there was all that was trying to get Angelina Jolie, trying to get tourists to come into Montoya. Garth Marley, Montoya becomes Batwoman. No. The Batwoman character, Kathy Kane, is romantically involved with Renee Montoya. So I got to keep these superheroes straight here. And what else are they talking about? Angelina Jolie, they gave $300,000 to that country where she gave birth. And they're saying that supposedly she did this to give birth there to bring tourist dollars to that country and to that area in Africa to help them out economically. So I don't know. And then we have Dennis Farina. He's leaving Law & Order. Dennis Farina is turning in his Law & Order badge. Dennis Farina has decided to leave his role as police detective Joe Fontana after two seasons on the NBC drama to pursue other offers and projects being developed by his production company. So now they got to get somebody else to take over that role. Dick Wolf, creator and blah, blah, blah of Law & Order, Grand Poobah of Law & Order, said in a statement that he respected Farina's decision. So also they got rid of the assistant DA, what's her name, Alexandra Borgia, I think her name was, so they killed her off. She was something with a murder case, if I remember right. And also we had this is Dr. 90210, self-deputized air marshal, and was easily the greatest act of airborne heroism by a basic cable reality television star since that really swishy one from the Queer Eye sat stuff a Southwest flight attendant's totally frumpy uniform. Dr. 90210 star Robert Ray utilized the martial arts skills he so aptly displays each week on his E-Titty Makeover show to subdue an 80-year-old passenger in the midst of a cockpit-charging freakout on an American Airlines flight late Monday. Dr. Robert Ray, blah, 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 told the Associated Press he got out of his seat and intervened when he heard the man make a big noise as he pushed a flight attendant toward the cockpit. Jesus, what the hell is this old guy doing there? Trying to take control of the plane or trying to find his mailbox? I'm not sure. And there's also we have this Mr. and Mrs. Smith co-stars, about the 300,000. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie celebrated the birth of their daughter, Shiloh Novell Jolie Pitt, on May 27th by donating $300,000 to help other babies in the impoverished Southern Africa country. So, big deal. Michael Keaton, Batman, has joined the cast of the supernatural thriller Reaper. An action, like noir type of film in the vein of Blade Runner, is to be directed by Scott Calvert from a script by Gary Whitta, a comic book writer, novelist, and video game developer. I got that from Production Weekly. And also then we have this from the BBC. The BBC reported that the producers of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix have replaced cast member Helen McCrory, who is expecting a baby, with Helena Bonham Carter in the role of Death Eater Bellatrix Lestrange. So, I haven't yet to see any of those movies yet. And also this from the Sci-Fi Channel. Everybody's raving about that on the board. Sci-Fi Channel announced that the World Wrestling Entertainment will debut ECW as a summer series at 10 o'clock on June 13th, which network called an alternative brand of wrestling suited to fit the Sci-Fi Channel's commitment to fuel the imagination. If you don't know what the ECW is, that hardly fuels the imagination. It's where they beat the hell out of each other with chairs and fly them through flaming tables and everything. I don't know what they're thinking. And they already have Law and Order on Sci-Fi and Passions. I don't know, kind of. But the ECW on Sci-Fi, I mean, this doesn't make sense. And then David Duchovny, green for Hulk 2. Marvel Vice President Peter Cuneo told AOL's Motley Fool radio team that X-Files former star David Duchovny is under consideration to take over the title in a straight-to-video sequel of Ang Lee's 2003 Hulk movie. So we'll see about that. So X-Files to a direct-to-video Hulk movie, so I don't know. And this last one for Brent Konigan, Freddy versus Jason versus Michael Myers. I'll go see that one. Robert Englund, who originated the character of Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, told the pitofhorror.com that talks are underway with Halloween writer-director John Carpenter for a sequel of Freddy versus Jason with the addition of Michael Myers in there. Ah, that'd be cool. See the three of them going at it. You'd enter, you build a steel cage and put that in paper.
I like how they... I mean, did you see Freddy versus Jason?
No, I didn't see that.
You're such a loser.
How did it end? In a cliffhanger?
No,
jump 1 year later?
No, but I mean, the story is good.
Yeah.
It's not like, let's just throw these two bad guys in. And
They leave it hanging?
Well, you know the whole, I mean, did you even watch any of Freddy? Or
Do you have
any clue what? Freddy, he appears in your dream.
Yeah.
And the point is.
He comes clawing through the mattress in some of those movies, too.
No, listen. Oh, yeah. The point is. You can't kill him in your dream. You have to, hold him while someone wakes you up so you can bring him out of your dream. Now, what Freddy thrives on is the kid's fear. You know, that's how they get in. That's how he gets into your dreams. Mm. Well, they kind of forget about him.
Mm.
You know, they throw him under the rug, and the parents try to, just throw it under the rug and forget about it. Well, he tries to get back the same way, try to get into one person's dream and another person's dream.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. He tries to use Jason as a means of people remembering
Freddy.
But what happens is, because Freddy gains strength as he kills people, what starts happening is Jason starts killing them before
Freddy can get to him.
Yeah. So then Freddy starts getting pissed off, and he's like, all right, that's enough. You know, I've had enough of you, Jason. And then they start battling at the end. So there's actually a story.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to throw Michael Myers in there.
That'd be cool. See the three of them in there going at it, though, wouldn't it? I think it'd be cool. What happened to that one? It was Jason up in space or something. What happened to that movie? He was like up in a ship or something. On the
Galactic. That was Jason X.
How did he come back from the ship down the...
Well, that was kind of like...
Anyway.
That was just another director being an idiot.
Oh. So, I don't know. Anyway, well, should we bring on Koenig now? I'm out of news. We'll bring on Koenig. We got a special music for him?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to get the special music. He's been requesting this. I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. Yeah,
he wants the special music.
Why not?
He'll have to hold on.
We'll have to... it'd be kind of cool to bring... How about Freddy and Jason show up in the Galactica, huh? Lay waste to some of the cast members, huh? No, I don't know about that. But we'll bring on Koenig in just a moment, and he's on his way. And actually, I want to talk about somebody else gave birth. Who was it? Gwen Stefani gave birth.
I'm surprised you didn't talk about Paris Hilton.
Did she give birth? No, it did. She made a record.
Well, yeah, a rap album?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, she's making a record album. I mean, she gave birth. Ain't No Hollaback Girl for singer Gwen Stefani and her husband Gavin Rosdale. On Friday, they welcomed the arrival of their son. Get a little of this name. Kingston James McGregor Rosdale. Wow. Weighing at 7.5 pounds. This is Gwen Stefani's first child. In 2004, Rosdale discovered that he has a 16-year-old daughter. What's with these guys and these illegitimate kids? So that's good. Good for her. She had a child. And also, longest-running TV series that ended this spring, the 70s show on Fox, Will and Grace, Charmed is done. The West Wing, of course, started in 1999. 70 shows started in 1998. This show was on, what, 8 years? Wow. Yes, Dear, One-on-One, Bernie Mac, and Alias. They're all gone now. And also, don't forget, tomorrow is Katie Couric's last appearance on the Today Show. So make sure you, I can care less about Katie Couric. So anybody's interested, watch Katie Couric on the Today Show. It's her last performance, last appearance. For that, we'll bring on Mr. Koenig Rules. Mr. Koenig Rules, are you there, sir?
I loved that.
Yeah, I'm looking. That's the new Caprica theme song. I was wrong with the first one. It's not the Dallas one. It's the Knott's Landing theme.
That's right.
Uh-oh, the Daleks don't like the Knott's Landing theme. They're Daleks. There you go. You've been asking for that, so how do you like it?
That's great.
It's the only version I could find that sound halfway decent. There's like 12 different versions of that theme.
Right, and that sounds like... one of the first seasons, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm still a Knott's Landing fan.
Really?
I watched all 13 years of
wow.
it.
Wow, wow.
Yep.
And you still admit to it? No. No, you know what? I got to admit, when I was growing up, the only time I watched Knott's Landing was when Larry Hagman showed up.
That must have been the first year.
He showed up. You know, uh-oh. Yeah, Daleks don't like that you talk about Dallas and Knott's Landing and the sci-fi segment. No. But that was the only time, really, because, you know, Dallas, at the time, you know, you're in the 80s, you only had one TV in your house and, you know, and only three
That's
channels
right.
back then. You know, and then, uh-oh. And then Fridays, you know, Dallas or nothing. You know what I mean? And
right.
then, you know, especially seeing Victoria Principal running around. You know, she was nice to look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
hey,
anyway.
You know,
this is only the beginning. Whoa. We will prepare.
Whoa.
We will grow stronger. When the time is right, we will emerge and take our rightful place as the supreme power of the universe.
Wow. Where did that come from, Koenig? Wow.
Sounds like Hitler.
Hitler? that was a Daleks. So
hey,
now,
you were pretty accurate calling Caprica Dallas.
Absolutely.
Before it even leaked out in the press that, oh, yeah, this is going to be like Dallas and everything, you had the Dallas theme song
right.
and everything.
That's right. I had a feeling that it's going to be more like Dallas than anything else.
You know what you need to do? You need to go on the sci-fi board and start bitching and complaining and saying, you know, quit leaking my spoilers out.
That's right. I spoiled that first. I'm the one that says it's going to be like Dallas with the theme.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. Well, he says it's more of a soap. So I thought, Dallas. You know,
it's going to be nice and clean, right?
Well, yeah, especially he said something about two families, and that just reeks of Dallas.
Right.
You know? So
let's hope it doesn't reek.
No, I hope it doesn't reek. I hope it doesn't. It sounds like it's going to be interesting because now they said they're going to introduce some kind of character in Battlestar Galactica's third season. It's going to like hint towards things to come on Caprica, right?
Right, isn't that something dealing with the Dama's past?
Yeah, something like
yeah,
that. Yeah,
new character in 307.
Yeah,
yep.
And it's going to be somehow some kind of big secret that they're going to reveal. What's
that
going to be?
That
do you have a boiler?
Dama is gay.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
You don't have now. What else do you have now? Do you have any boilers, or you want to talk about sci-fi in general, or?
Yeah, I got some boilers on Galactica.
Uh-oh.
First of all, a lot of rumors are going around that Lee and or Dee are going to die.
Whoa, wow.
On board as the Pegasus rams into the Cylon base star.
Ooh.
And all those reports of their deaths are greatly exaggerated.
Oh, wow.
They're still going to be on, both of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you want? Actually, I have a little information from courtesy of Jerry Doyle from Babylon 5.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was doing his radio show. Actually, Monday I was listening to it, and he talked about who was the name of that guy who was in the first. Oh, there you go. Who was the guy that was the captain of the ship and wherever hell it was, the commander in the first season? What was
Sinclair.
His name? Sinclair. Yeah,
right.
Turns out he was a major ass on the set, according to Jerry Doyle.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-oh. On his
is that why they got rid of him?
He said because he said that the he said I don't know he took him out to drink or something. He went to pick him up or something. I don't know. He came in from because I guess Sinclair came in from New York to L.A. or to film the series. Mm-hmm. And then the Doyle is being a nice guy and taking him out for drinks. And he goes picks him up and driving to the bar. And Jerry Doyle started talking to him. He says and he goes, "Oh, I prefer not to talk to anybody today." He's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm like yeah." And then you get to the bar and he didn't say a word. And and he was very presumptuous to order him drinks. It's like, what the hell? And then supposedly he physically did something to one of the makeup artists, somebody on the set. So and then that led to suits on from the series to get rid of Sinclair and bring in Boxleitner.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was a little bit of news I picked up from Monday. On
Is that an old spoiler?
I guess. I mean, it was just something, a little the kernel of news that Doyle decided to give out on.
Wow.
So that's a little history there behind Babylon 5.
I think the censors are saying they don't want that information to leak out.
I mean, it's a Babylon 5 information. So Sinclair.
Right, don't go on the B5 board.
Yeah. So Sinclair didn't leave on his own accord. They got rid of him because he was a major pain in the ass to the producers.
I was wondering why the sudden change,
Yeah. So, okay, go with your boilers. Sorry, I had to get the Babylon 5.
No, that's okay. So right. Lee and Dee are very much alive and in love. Mm. And I'm not going to go any further than that.
Right.
But I did want to correct one boiler that I had indicated previously. And that is, remember I talked about Kara and her baby?
Oh, yes.
Well, it's not her baby.
What the hell? What?
It's not her baby, and it's not a Cylon hybrid.
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. It's not her baby.
It's not her baby.
So who's what? She's
and it's not a Cylon hybrid.
So who's child?
It's a completely normal baby, and it has nothing to do with Kara.
What? Who's?
Remember.
Who's carrying the baby?
About some of this, where sometimes.
that's about right. I think
remember we were talking about they would put out stuff like this for some of the fans, and I think it was all fictitious. Fake.
I see.
Right. So there's only one Cylon hybrid child.
And
I guess that's okay because that sounded a little bit hokey.
Yeah, and it's Boomer's child. So
right, Boomer's child. Yeah. Right, but it's not Kara's child. It's a perfectly normal child. She's not even pregnant. Which?
Wait a minute now. Where does this baby come from? She's not even pregnant.
I don't know. But they focus on this baby throughout these episodes.
You're kidding.
So it came from the colonies, I guess.
Really? So it's not...
Now, do you want me to go get into the biology here?
Wait a minute. They're going to ask from the WPB. Anything on Eureka?
Eureka?
Yeah, that's a casino down the street, I think. What are you
talking
about?
Eureka. Isn't that what Doctor Who used to say? Eureka.
Had a shooting down there a year ago. But Eureka's a casino.
Eureka's that new sci-fi series.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be paired up with the two Stargates. Oh. No, only that it's going to be on in the summer, But I don't think, I know that there's some rumors that Doctor Who's second season will be out in the summer. I think that's way too early as they're still showing the Doctor Who episodes in Britain and that won't end till June something. So sci-fi tends to be cheap, so I think they're going to wait a couple months. The earliest I think we'll see the season two would be probably with Battlestar or in January.
Because last week Doctor Who didn't air because of the Jaws marathon going on sci-fi,
right?
Which is I don't know. Jaws has really got nothing to do with science fiction, but And then I understand that network. Yeah, they're bringing on the wrestling, and they're bringing on Law and Order, and they're bringing
on. And they yanked off Passions.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, I my kid was starting to watch it. We would copy. We would record it every day, and now they've yanked it off in the morning.
Oh, what's on its place? Lost in Space.
They have all these old vintage series that start up an hour ahead of time.
Oh.
So they had Buck Rogers today.
Well, that's good. I emailed them numerous times. They should bring back Lost in Space, air those reruns of Lost in Space.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but, I mean, but,
well, I'm sure they'll listen to you, Sean.
Yeah.
Sean, they always do.
Yeah, but they pulled Passions. And then,
they pulled Passions.
The rest
NBC did, this is a pop culture thing.
Yes.
NBC did renew it.
They renewed Passions, okay,
mm-hmm.
So it'll be on the network, but not necessarily on Sci-Fi.
Right.
Yes, but then they're bringing on the wrestling. That's going to air on Tuesdays, apparently, right? And
mm-hmm.
Law and Order is not airing on Sci-Fi, which is has nothing to do with science fiction.
Right.
Really? it's amazing. Amazing. Now, what's Eureka about now? They're saying
something about some strange goings-on in a town, and there's a government think tank, and strange experiments are going on. I think Deborah Fiorentino, isn't it? She was from Earth 2, if you remember that show.
Yeah, she was very hot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but she's probably not as hot now because she's, what?
Oh, yeah, it's
15
been,
years older.
That's, yeah,
yeah,
that's been about 10 years since this show was on Earth 2, hasn't it?
10 or 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it was another show at the networks. It was NBC again that dropped the ball on that one, huh?
Right. By the way, did you mention that David Duchovny is going to be the next Hulk?
Yes, I did. He's going to be
God.
The.
Don't make me angry.
the brooding way of saying it.
Yeah, the brooding one. Gee. Oh, God.
Yes. Duchovny Green for Hulk 2. Yes, it's going to be a direct-to-video sequel to Hulk.
Oh, they're not going to release it in a feature film?
No, according to AOL's Motley Fool radio show, yes.
Hmm.
Duchovny. And then there's going to be Freddy versus Jason versus Michael Myers. How about that?
Yeah, well, I saw Freddy versus Jason. I liked it. Sorry.
And what about the Helena Bonham Carter is taking over that role in Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah, Death Eater Bellatrix Lagrange.
Hmm.
So now, are you getting any other boilers?
Well, I did want to correct that one, so that's probably going to be hitting the boards, you know, that the baby's completely normal.
Hmm.
The Pegasus blows, but Lee and Dee don't.
Really, now.
And there's going to be a shift in location in episode 304.
Oh, shift in location. Oh, you mean from the planet to the fleet or what?
Well,
you can't reveal it?
The planet to the fleet to the Cylon base ship.
Oh, wow.
Yep. They're going to go in the inside of a Cylon base ship.
That's a boiler or a spoiler there. You're getting a little more, more detailed information. In the last
yeah, I know. But I think
uh-oh. So, and then... So we make they enter the third. Uh-oh.
So remember V, the
V,
series?
Absolutely, yes. What happened
to the
remake?
I think they're going to do something like that with the Cylons. Because one of the nice things, if you want to call it nice, about the series was
mm-hmm.
they and the miniseries was they would always focus on the interactions with the lizards, and they seem so. And it seems so much more interesting after a while than with the humans. So I think what's going to happen with Battlestar this year, they're going to have these two running stories occurring at the same time. One with the Cylons at the same time that
yeah, but Cylons don't eat humans.
Cylons don't eat humans, he said. WPB is saying, any news on new Battlestar? Oh, don't tell me they're going to bring in another Battlestar.
You know, that rumor's been floating around that there's a third Battlestar around.
Uh-oh.
And as far as I know, I haven't heard that.
Really?
You know, I I could be wrong, you know, like I was wrong with the baby.
How many more Battlestars are going to show up? who's going to be the captain of this one? Shatner?
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, well, yeah.
No, I haven't heard anything about a third Battlestar.
Really? Well, I mean, especially after the Pegasus did so well, I mean...
I think a commander had a lifespan of what, 1 week?
Well, no, it's gotten rave reviews, as because they've submitted those episodes to the Emmy nominating committee.
Right.
So I mean, those are what they consider the best episodes of the season. I would imagine. Why else would they submit those to the Emmy?
By the way, I wanted to let you know that the one who plays Dee, Candace.
Yes.
She signed on for 5 years.
Oh,
so
really?
So that should make some people really happy.
Yeah.
I mean, there are hate D fans out there because
really?
They blame her for the breakup between Starbuck and Apollo.
If you ever wanted to make a Battlestar like spinoff, you can leave some people on the planet.
There you go.
And the Battlestar just goes on their own way, and then you just forget about the planet as far as the Battlestar Galactica series, and then you make a spin-off show of people on the planet.
Yeah. I know, we could have two spin-off shows.
Nice.
The Caprica prequel and New Caprica.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, we don't need no prequels. Give me a break.
Yeah, I worry about these prequels. I would like to see him do a Resistance series with on the Caprica, you know? But then when they did in the first season with Hilo and Boomer and then... You know,
and Seven of Nine. Resistance is
and put Starbuck there to give some more star power and blonde power to the show, and then make a series out of that, you know, with Anders and all that. I thought that would have made perfect sense, you know.
Well, Anders is going to be sticking around for a while.
Oh, well, no, I mean, if they would have made the Resistance,
and
yeah,
you know,
I know,
the Resistance, the ones that stay on the planet, you wouldn't have a big cast because all the big cast would be left on the original. The backup, would you just get new cast members to fill in the roles?
Exactly. And the cheap.
And then you could reduce the special effects budget.
There you go.
There you go.
It could look like Doctor Who.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And then you know, what else do you have? What about these new Battlestar Galactica with the webisodes? When do those start? Do you know?
Those are supposed to start in summer, and they're not going to be long. They're about 10 episodes.
No.
And... someone was saying that they're going to be like probably at most when you combine them all together about a full episode, and it's supposed to take place between the time that lost time period of that year.
Do you remember
when they lost that year, or a year elapsed when Baltar had his head on?
So it's
to play sort of like some catch up time.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, but now if you don't watch those and then you watch the series, you're going to be lost. Yeah, or are they going to, you know, you're going to have to watch those things to know what happened.
Go ahead. You know, just for your information, they're also doing something online like that with Passions. They're going to have The Cove, which is an online type of webisode that's going to be a la Passions too.
What is this?
So
the Cove.
The Cove
or the Code?
The Cove.
Oh, the Cove. C-O-V-E. Oh, that's even lamer. The Cove. I don't know. I mean, I thought it'd be better if they do these little mini episodes that span those 6 months between when the Galactica and the Pegasus took off and what's happened in the meantime, you know, on the planet. But it's not going to be about this. It's going to be about that year in between?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, I mean... Hmm. We'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
I mean, it should be on the sci-fi board.
Is that when he became president? No.
Yeah, he became president, and then they jumped a year.
Right,
the
they
future.
Jumped a year.
Oh, I gotcha. So it's going to be the in-between there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Well, then when the season premiere starts, Koenig already gave that spoiler away. That's going to be 6 months since then.
No,
as
4
well.
Months.
Or whatever, 4 months.
Right. Yeah, I gave that spoiler away, but you heard it on Sean's show.
But I mean, that
so get in.
Yeah. But you think those webisodes would fit better in that 4 month span versus that whole year?
There has been some talk. I mean, which time period are they referring to? So, you know, I mean, I have not seen anything definite yet. I thought it was going to be the year, but some people are also talking about the 4 month period.
No, now there was no Doctor Who this week.
Yes.
There was no Doctor Who this week, but I did see the Christmas Invasion special.
Oh, yes, how was that?
It was excellent. It was a full hour Doctor Who episode. So if they ever show this, and I hope they show this.
What is
on
this now?
Sci-fi, because he regenerates into David Tennant, and he has some problems as he regenerates. They got to show this episode.
So he regenerates in that episode?
Well, he regenerates. Here's a really big boiler. He regenerates at the end of the 13th episode.
Uh-oh.
But then things go wrong with the regeneration because he's absorbed too much energy, too much power.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really?
And meanwhile, an alien menace is threatening the Earth. So it's actually an Earthbound story.
Wait a minute. So now, does this Christmas Invasion episode have anything to do with the continuity of the series, or is it like a standalone thing?
It does have continuity with the series because the final minute or two of the 13th episode is at the start of
Christmas.
This episode.
Oh, really?
Where the Doctor wants to take Rose to Barcelona, and instead they head back to Earth.
Barcelona? Wait a minute. Barcelona isn't Earth. Is it Barcelona's in Spain, right?
Right, right, yeah. But they take her back to her home.
Oh, I see.
Her home where Mom is and Mickey. Mom and Mickey are in this one.
Oh.
The Prime Minister is in this one.
Oh, the Prime Minister? Oh, that woman?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she's in there. There's a new alien menace. Sycorax. It's pretty. And Torchwood is referred to.
Uh oh, really?
Remember, you wanted to know how they were going to do the Torchwood series. What's going to happen? Well, obviously, they have their hands on alien technology.
Oh, now any updates? The chairman said any updates of the Star Wars live action series?
From what my understanding is, there's going to be a delay in it. I thought at first it was going to be a year from now, but I've heard that there's been some delays, that it's not going to be
really
as early as.
What's he thinking? Lucas should strike while the iron's hot with the Star Wars business. You know, he's not caring in a couple of years.
That's right. I know.
Huh. Now, we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. We never got to it. We didn't get to it last week either.
The
Doctor
Who
drinking game. Pull it here.
Oh, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
Oh. Now the cliffhanger, it's a two-parter, right?
Right.
Now, because the first part is, what's this one called? Bad Wolf?
Bad Wolf.
All right.
And the Daleks.
And the Daleks, okay.
And Daleks come at the end of it, and then it continues in the next part, which seems very much Battlestar Galactica Cylon-ish.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you could see some obvious parallels with the Daleks and with the Cylons. So that's cool that you got both of them on your show.
Yeah. And now they have the the Ninth Doctor's drinking game. Yeah.
There's one for each game. There's one for each Doctor. There's a drinking game for Doctor 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this is for 9. And these are just, I think, guidelines. I think you can pick whatever you want to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So it says the doctor shouts, drink one shot whenever the following occurs. The doctor shouts, fantastic. Take a shot, right?
Okay. You want me to shout fantastic?
That's when I tell you were fantastic.
No, I don't drink, so I
don't know. Fantastic.
Before I go, I just want to tell you were fantastic.
Oh, fantastic.
No. Do you have a special sound effect, you know, like on the Three Stooges?
And you see the phrase, bad wolf turn up? So they're probably going to address that, right? The bad wolf? Okay.
Oh, definitely. Everything hangs together in this two-parter.
Very good. A minor female character that Rose chats up and makes friends with ends up getting killed before the end of the episode.
Oh,
she does that every week, doesn't she?
but there's a lot of killing in this one.
Oh, really?
A lot of killing.
Wow.
And I'm not spoiling anything by saying there's a lot of killing.
Wow. The doctor mopes about being the last survivor of his race. So he's, he's done that every week. I just hope this new one's good. I mean, I agree with Khan.
He was not, as he's recovering in Rose's place, it's the secondary characters that really carry the ball, which is great, because you begin to see how strong they are. And by the end of the episode, I could care less about, that David Tennant replaced Chris.
Really?
He's the doctor. I think one of the things that I really like about this doctor is that he's got a very distinctive wardrobe. You know, whereas Chris wore the leather jacket and hardly had any hair, he's got the taste like the other doctors. He goes in for the bombastic, the overpowering type of attire. In fact, he even puts on a scarf at one point.
Really?
And remind you like of the Tom Baker era.
So I'm not all that familiar with Doctor Who, but I mean, so when, Eccleston goes in, you know, what is it? He goes into a chamber or something, right? And like in Superman? Or what?
What?
when he goes through the change.
Well, he's actually in the TARDIS when he goes through the chain.
Well, he just lays down and it happens, or what?
No, he's standing up when it happens.
Does he know? Does he get blasted with a ray gun or
something?
Do
you want a play-by-play over
here?
He's trying to figure this out.
it's a significant moment.
Really?
It's probably a very intimate moment between the doctor and Rose.
Uh-oh.
And it's probably the most intimate moment you've ever seen.
Really?
The doctor with the companion.
Does he know this change is coming when he's with Rose?
No.
Really?
No,
it just happens?
It just happened.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. So he doesn't stand there and, you know, you have in the best of times, it's the worst of times. I have been, always shall be your friend. Live long and prosper. He doesn't say that at all.
No, this is definitely better. You don't want what the doctor does with Rose, the same thing happening between Kirk and Spock. Otherwise, Uh-oh. Whoa.
So really, we don't want to miss this when it happens, right?
No.
Really.
This is a significant moment. I would say this is one of the most significant scenes of this doctor.
And also, the doctor says stupid ape or some other phrase meant to insult humans.
Right.
Like Ricky or whatever. Captain Jack flirts with a minor character.
Oh, yeah.
And then, the last doctor who we saw is when someone buying drinks or something like that, and then the doctor says, you buy me a few drinks first. So Doctor Who kind of made a little comment that he might be a little swinging both ways there, huh?
Possibly. Yeah. Or he's at least liberal enough to. It doesn't faze him.
And the doctor is unable to resolve the plot line. It's up to Rose or a minor character to clean up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And really, she's come to the rescue a few times on this series.
The
thing with the first Dalek, she came to the rescue with that and saved him from wiping him out. But that comes back to haunt them, though, because the Daleks come back, right?
Yep.
So
she
screwed everything up at the end of the season. And then the Slitheen lets loose on a fart. Are they going to be back in the third season, the Slitheen?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. I think what they're trying to do is focus on other villains that the Doctor... the Cybermen.
Yeah, Cybermen.
Are the big returning villains.
Get drinking.
There you go.
I'm sure Tennant's going to be dealing with the Daleks, if not his first season.
And then the end of The Empty Child, the Doctor dances in celebration of the fact that just this once everybody lives.
Right.
And then it says additional rules, drink one shot whenever the following occurs. Every time somebody, be it Rose or a minor character, makes a comment about the Doctor's ears or nose. That's true. Yeah, his ears.
That's
yeah,
right. Your ears are too big.
Ears are too big, and she calls him Mr. Spock.
So it sounds like a lot of drinking in this game.
A lot of drinking.
I don't know. It's cool. I mean, so hopefully the finale. Now, have they got any? Well, I'm starting to catch up. What's going on in the chat room now?
It would be nice if they show the Christmas invasion. If Sci-Fi was smart,
yeah.
They show the Christmas invasion at Christmas.
Yeah.
They have killer Santas and killer Christmas trees in this one.
Yeah. Oh, Darth Marley saying Brokeback TARDIS as the Doctor gets it on with Captain Jack. the rumor has Rose as Bad Wolf. Could she turn out to be Bad Wolf?
Well, all I can say is if she's bad, it's pretty good.
Wow. we'll see. It sounds like it's.
Oh yeah, it's dynamite. It really is.
Really?
It builds. I mean, the first part sort of leaves you hanging, so no pun intended. But the second part really is great.
Really. And then a question from the chat room is about the Star Trek, the 11th movie. What have you heard about that? Now, that one, J.J. Abrams is going to produce that one, right?
Yeah, the guy from Alias and Lost. There's talk about them bringing on a younger Kirk and a younger Spock.
That's what I heard, too. They're going to go back in time to when they're in the Academy.
I don't know. You know, for just my feeling, I mean, we've been bombarded with Star Trek so much. I think they should just leave it alone for a while, and let's focus on other shows that like Battlestar, for instance. You know, and I would be curious to see a movie on Battlestar.
Really?
I really think that would be. That would be cool, you know?
I mean, at the end of its run, or like they did with X-Files?
Probably at the end of its run. With the prequel, with this show, I think if they were doing a movie while at the same time doing these other episodes, we probably would get a lot like 216 through 218 or something like that, you know, with the lesser quality season 2 episodes. So, but I would love to see a Battlestar Galactica movie where... You know, about half the picture would be special effects. And I'm not saying special effects are bad, but I mean, just seeing it on the big screen would really be cool, don't
you
think?
Yeah, well the whole the footage and the where they shake the camera, it add to the
and
to the series.
Yeah, and nausea, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Hopefully, I just don't know. I mean, and then...
I think you know, Battlestar Galactica, if Sci-Fi treats it right, I'm thinking they will, though. I don't know. I mean, they're talking more about Stargate at this point in time.
Oh, yeah.
Stargate, another series, a movie to Stargate.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of like, ooh, I'm sick of Stargate. You know,
yeah.
I would like to see, like, Battlestar Galactica get as popular as Stargate. Well, and that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. I think Battlestar is more popular than Stargate, at least in America.
Yeah, well, it
maybe
seems like,
not internationally, but at least in America, it's doing better in the ratings.
Well, yeah, well, I think Stargate's got the advantage with the it's in syndication, so unless they
right.
do have that, Galactica.
That's right, that's
yeah.
right. And the latest with Stargate is that if a season 10, if they're doing the season 10, that they have the option now of a season 11.
Oh.
I mean, so they're gearing up for that, and they're going to gear up for that real early on. You're not going to have to wait at the end of 10 episodes probably to hear a pickup for season 11.
Wow.
My guess would be probably the fourth or fifth episode in the next season,
that's
and they're
amazing.
Going to get picked up.
11 years. Of
11
Star.
Years.
I can't believe
yeah.
that show's been on that long. I really don't see Battlestar Galactica lasting that long. I see you know,
no, I don't.
Five
don't
at
either.
The most. You know, five, maybe six. Like a half season six, wrap up
unless,
or something.
Unless they really go a new direction with the show. You know, like Bawtar heading to the base ship. If he becomes more like the old Bawtar.
Yeah.
That's pursuing them and stuff like that, and if it's got some of those elements in it, it might be different, you know.
It could, because this show is so dramatic, it's so heavy. I don't know if it can,
right.
can keep the quality up for past five seasons. I mean, they're already in three seasons right now,
right?
And it had a couple misfires in the last season, so I mean,
my guess though is it's not going to be canceled after three seasons if they want the prequel.
Oh, yeah.
To succeed, they're going to have the parent show along with the prequel, on at the same time.
Yeah.
So my guess is I've always said this, at least five seasons.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like Ike and Moore really feel that this third season is really where they're going to hit their stride.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I go on Mrs. Ron's board in Sci-Fi, and she's already seen the first two episodes, and she said she was blown away by those first two episodes. So I mean, let's hope so. I mean, if she's blown away with the product not fine tuned and cleaned up for TV, I mean,
right.
The rest of us are in for something else when it comes back.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see. And then, five seasons at the most, and then the spinoff maybe they'll last an air five. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah. And then because now they're saying that on the one board, I guess the families, one's going to be called, the Adamas. The other one's the Greystones.
Right.
Now, isn't that Tarzan's family?
Is it the Grey?
No. excuse me. I'm losing my voice. I should have booked a guest for the first half hour. I'm losing my voice. Is that Tarzan's family, the Greystone?
Was it the Greystone or
no,
the Grey?
No, Greystoke.
Grey Stoke, right.
Yeah, I was playing off that. I think Tarzan's going to swing in and do the whole scream in that episode. Yeah, and then I got beat up because I was kind of kidding around. I was saying that Giorgio said he would be happy with seven seasons of Galactica.
Well, they could do it.
Yeah.
It's just Sci-Fi does some strange things. I know I shouldn't be making a big deal about Passions, but I mean, it's a show that's on so many seasons on NBC.
Yeah.
They start showing it when? In February or March? And they've already yanked it off the air.
Yeah, it's a soap opera,
too. And it's sort of like, okay, well, obviously you don't care for the loyalties of the few fans that watched it. So you never know what would happen, you know? I mean, they might yank off Stargate on the Sci-Fi Channel, and it might just air in syndication,
Well, I mean, it's clear. I mean, that they make more money on the series, especially if Galactica was in syndication. They make more money.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why Next Generation did so well, because they were in syndication.
Right. So I'm not for sure certain that even Sci-Fi would continue to have Stargate on its station if the ratings are really plummeting like they did with that show in Atlantis. I mean, in Atlantis, I was very disappointed, and I thought that was going to be the better of the two shows, and boy, did it degenerate by the end of this season.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. It was laughable, the villains hissing.
Huh. And well, and then especially coming up with the third series of
another series of Stargate. Do we really need that?
No, we don't. We don't need two of them either.
Right.
The one.
So I'm hoping that isn't a prelude to doing another spinoff of Galactica.
What possibly can they do unless they try to?
It could be all about the Cylons.
No,
you know what happened. I mean, you start out with the Cylons on Caprica. All right, how did the Cylons evolve to where they look human? That 40 years, they could focus on, or they could do a time shift there in Caprica, where originally it's on Caprica, and then it shifts to that 40-year mark.
Huh, unless,
they could do a lot of things, really.
Well, unless they do, they trot out another Battlestar, and then there it goes off into its own series. So,
yeah.
Koenig, I think the Cylons are in, the Daleks are in closing range here.
So, well, thanks for having me on.
No problem.
And be sure to watch Bad Wolf this Friday.
Bad Wolf, absolutely. Uh-oh. All right, Koenig, with Lego.